When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Go spread the word. When you get a fresh, hot McCrispy from McDonald's and you can feel the heat coming through the bag, don't try to wait till you get home. Always respect hot chicken. The McCrispy. Only at McDonald's. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
Jim, have you ever composted?
No, but my father has tried a bunch of times. I don't know if he's ever really succeeded, but I witnessed him really, really try. The compost.
Okay, well, do you even know why we should compost?
I think because it's like really good usable stuff for gardens and plants.
That's right. It is. So we're going to talk about why we should compost, what compost even is, and how to compost, and all of the chemistry behind that.
Awesome. That sounds great.
All right, let's get into it. Hey, I'm Melissa.
I'm Jam.
And I'm a chemist.
And I'm not.
And welcome to Chemistry for Your Life,
the podcast to help you understand the chemistry of your everyday life.
Compost edition. Okay. So we've gotten this question from a lot of listeners over the years, actually originally from Stephen H. back in like 2019 in the very early days of the show.
Nice.
And then listener Greg in 2022 sent an email. And then recently I was talking with some of our Patreon supporters, Chris and Claire. Mm-hmm. Today's Claire's birthday, so shout out Claire. Happy birthday.
Nice. Happy birthday, Claire.
We were talking about composting and, you know, she's talking about some of the challenges that she'd had with it. Anyway, so all of that made me think it's probably time to do this episode on composting. Mm. So here we are. And before we get started, I do want to convince you about why you should compost.
Okay.
Not just because it's good usable stuff, although that's part of it, but I'm going to give you some stats.
Okay.
The average U.S. household wastes an estimated 32% of purchased food.
Wow.
That translates to $240 billion in economic losses, according to a professor of agriculture economics. In 2019, 66.2 million tons of food wasted were generated in the food retail, food service, and residential sectors in the United States. Only 5% of that wasted food was composted.
Wow.
When we send food and other organic materials to landfills or combustion facilities, we throw away valuable nutrients and carbon contained in those materials. But if we composted our food scraps and our yard trimmings, instead, we can return those nutrients back to the soil, good usable things.
Nice.
Support plant growth and build resilience in our local ecosystems.
So whenever we send that food waste to the landfill, the way that they like put that in the landfill isn't it like sort of there a barrier between it and the soil? Like,
yeah. So
on purpose.
We can talk about that more. There's also a barrier between it and the air, which is a big deal.
Right, okay.
So the next fact I was going to say is 51.4% of municipal solid waste in landfills is food.
Uh-huh.
And when food and other organic materials decompose in a landfill, because of certain conditions, bacteria will break down the material and generate a lot of methane gas, which is a powerful greenhouse gas.
Mm.
And if we do that in our own personal settings, that won't happen as much. Or okay. If we do it in industrial composters, that doesn't happen. It's specifically in the landfill.
Okay. All right.
But yes, also there, it's like so packed and piled in there that a lot of times that nutrient can't get back to.
Yeah.
I mean, it's in a plastic bag.
Right.
So already it's going to have a hard time getting back to the...
Yeah.
Earth.
You know, I haven't thought about composting in a long time, but about a month or two ago, I saw a video about like a little like countertop composter thingy.
Ooh, yeah.
That speeds that process up and stuff. And I was very intrigued because, and you know, my father may have been doing it pretty wrong, but I remember the smells of.
Yes.
What was happening.
We're going to talk about the smells.
And the bugs that were.
We're also going to talk about the bugs.
Very attracted to what he was doing and the work he was putting in.
Yep.
And the effort that he was, and when he didn't, what would. It didn't go well. So I just was like, I have a sort of like, if I did do that, maybe I would want a machine to do stuff for me, because maybe I don't want, maybe I wouldn't have any better luck. So,
well, stay tuned, because we might talk about an easier way where you can outsource labor.
Okay.
That might already exist in your backyard.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So the very last thing that I was going to say is that many cities have composting programs or waste yard waste bins, which is a way that you could outsource your labor.
I do have one
that you can dispose of coffee grounds and produce scraps in at the bare minimum. Uh-huh. Sometimes they have more complex. In our county, you can put yard waste and vegetable scraps and coffee grounds in your yard waste bin.
Nice.
And then they will compost it for you. And nice. I think they sell it, but.
Yeah, they do. Dino dirt.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So then you can give back in that way as well. So here's some fun facts about it.
Okay.
Now here, I'm going to say, here's the benefits of composting Melissa's version.
Okay.
Okay. So it makes my trash smell less bad and it needs to be taken out less often.
Mm.
It's a cheaper way to fertilize my garden and lawn.
Mm-hmm.
I feel less sad about food waste because I know it will be reused and it's not going to sit in the landfill.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't smell bad, which I was surprised about. And last but not least, sometimes it feels like magic. Now, the EPA's version of benefits are that it protects the climate by reducing methane emissions from landfills, reduces waste, recycles organic materials into valuable soil additions, amendments is what they call it, recovers organic material and keeps them local, creates green jobs, not sure how, maybe if you have like an industrial facility.
Right.
Extends municipal landfill life by diverting organic materials, therefore saving space in landfills. Mm-hmm. Because remember, 51% organic materials.
Mm-hmm.
Reduces solid waste management costs because food scraps are one of the largest and heaviest portions of the waste stream, making the recovery increasingly cost effective compared to disposal.
Nice.
Okay. So that's the EPA's version
versus
Melissa's version. Mine were more fun.
Right.
But what can you do?
Yeah, one of them sounded like how we, like people talk. The other one sounded kind of like how lawyers talk, you know?
Right, exactly. Yeah, so.
I bet you guys can guess which one was which.
Yeah, I definitely talk like lawyers. So that's why composting is important, why you should care about it, because it really can negatively impact the environment to not compost.
Mm-hmm.
So let's talk about what composting is.
Okay.
And the chemistry behind it. So there's probably not going to be a super traditional chemistry lesson today, but you will learn about things of and related to chemistry.
Okay.
So composting is a process that by which things are broken down into component parts or smaller parts that can then be used by new plants. So it's basically taking dead things and using their nutrients to make good product that can enrich your soil so that it can make new things.
Mm-hmm.
And there's two types of composting. One is in the presence of oxygen. So that would be like backyard composting.
Mm-hmm.
And the other is without the presence of oxygen. That happens in facilities, in like sealed containers. They'll do composting. And it also happens inadvertently in landfills because there's so much stuff piled on that a lot of things can't get the oxygen. So it breaks down in a non-oxygen environment. Mm.
What kind of method do you use? Or are you saving that for later?
Well, backyard composting is in the presence of oxygen.
So, oh, yours is in your backyard?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
So I do a backyard. I also put it in my landfill bin. So I guess technically both.
So you compost
in my waste.
Yard
waste bin.
Got it.
So I compost in my backyard. Backyard composting is in the presence of oxygen.
Uh-huh.
Very likely City of Denton, I'm guessing, uses a facility.
Right.
So is my guess. Mm-hmm. Uses not oxygen. So that would be aerobic or anaerobic, but I can never remember. I get those words mixed up in my head. Aerobic is with oxygen, anaerobic is without oxygen. But when it happens inadvertently in landfills, because there's so much stuff piled on that can't get to oxygen, then it does produce, the without oxygen produces methane gas. But if you do that in a controlled without oxygen environment, you can capture the methane gas and then use that methane gas to fuel things.
Uh-huh.
So you're not letting greenhouse gases out into the atmosphere. Instead, you're taking the greenhouse gas and you're using it for other things.
Got it. Harnessing it.
Mm-hmm. Harnessing it for good instead of letting it just go out into the atmosphere.
Yeah.
Cool, right?
Yeah, that's crazy. That's one of those things where it feels like we really hacked the system.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, oh, there's methane going to be released. Maybe we can't, maybe it's going to happen some no matter what, or maybe we could do that on purpose and use it.
Yes.
That's cool. So like how, what do they use it for? Or
I think it gets used to, well, I don't want to speak too soon, but I think it's like a natural gas source so that like you can use it to pour natural gas.
Huh.
I don't know.
I've heard of different things where like if there's like some sort of steamer gas byproduct, that a very general use would be to just have it like spin a turbine or something like that, you know?
I think also there's methane in that is used in stoves.
Hmm.
Like in our gas lines.
I guess I never have wondered what gas that is.
I thought I read that, but then I wasn't sure. But then I quickly Googled it and it affirmed that. But then I was like, I don't want to. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So that's what I think.
What if people got really into like cooking with a specific kind of gas? Like, oh, no, not methane.
Well,
I use only propane or whatever. It's like a real specific, like one of those.
I could see that happening. Like it leaks in your home.
Yeah, yeah. But not like so the coffee snob side or whatever. It's like, you know, different kinds of water, all kind of stuff, which does have an effect, but it starts to sound kind of like, are you sure? Like,
are you sure it does? Yeah. Those are the two main types.
Okay.
Aerobic or anaerobic, with oxygen, without oxygen.
Got it.
Okay.
What's going to help me with that is that another coffee tie-in, they do have anaerobic coffee processing.
No oxygen?
No oxygen. Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's cool.
Isn't that interesting? We have not had some of that to like roast or sell ourselves, but I have tasted some before myself.
Does it taste different?
Very different. Yep. So all the processing is aerobic in some way. So it's one of those interesting newish experimental things. So I will remember this because it's a coffee tie-in.
Well, that's kind of the last time we're going to talk about it because we're mostly going to talk about the kind with oxygen.
Okay. Well, now I will remember which one's which. So how about that?
Okay, good.
That would otherwise probably confuse me, I think, you know?
So we're going to do the backyard kind, the kind that happens in open air that most people would have in their backyard.
Okay.
And it's really a story of bacteria. It's like biochemistry, how bacteria are the best, how they're going to help us break down and sterilize our dirty garbage.
Nice.
So initially what happens is you put your compost in a bin and there's bacteria that thrive in moderate temperatures. So that's known as mesophilic.
Mm-hmm.
So mesophilic bacteria are going to predominate in your compost pile, and they're going to start by breaking down the easy stuff to break down, like what is easiest to break down.
Okay.
So when I think of easy things to break down, a lot of times I'll think about like sugar.
Mm-hmm.
Sugar's in all plants. So you can take sugar, which is carbon, hydrogen, and oxygen, and in the presence of oxygen, the bacteria can break that down, and they'll produce three things. They'll basically repurpose the carbon and oxygen into carbon dioxide, and then the hydrogen and oxygen into water.
Mm-hmm.
And then the other thing that will be produced is heat.
Mm.
So it'll release heat, energy in the form of heat.
Huh.
Okay, so when there's lots of bacteria carrying that process out over and over, and they're releasing a lot of heat, what starts to happen is your compost pile will start to heat up.
Oh.
And as your compost pile starts to heat up, as they let more and more temperature off, it can get up to 65 degrees Celsius, which is 150-ish degrees Fahrenheit.
Whoa.
Yeah, it can get really hot. I was like, there's no way that's happening in my compost pile, but it is.
Wow.
I even like read a paper where they did an at-home, it was a peer-reviewed journal article, they tested all these things in an at-home compost pile.
Uh-huh.
So yeah, it can get up to around 150 degrees Fahrenheit or 65 degrees Celsius. And then I thought in my at-home composter, which is black plastic, in the summertime when it's already 100 degrees outside, I wonder how much hotter that gets.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's crazy. I feel like I would have maybe believed, or I believe it no matter what, but I mean, like, I think it would have been easier to believe if it was like, it can get up to like 100.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, okay. Well, so even in like colder temperatures, it could raise
to
that.
It could be warm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But the idea that it's getting up to like 150, is that what you said?
Yeah.
Yeah. Is like, that's hot. Like,
that's high.
And I think the temperature for water that starts to like burn humans, like you shouldn't have water higher than like, I think 120, 130, like in the shower bath. So we're talking.
Really?
Yeah. I feel like I've seen that like on water heaters, like the warning is like.
Interesting.
Just be careful. Something like that. So that's, if I remember that correctly, then 150 is like.
It's hot.
Golly.
That is hot. Yeah, that's crazy. Well, I was also surprised by that, but I don't think it stays there for very long because once it starts to get above that threshold, that's actually when even the good bacteria that you want starts to go dormant or die off.
Okay.
So a lot of times you want to be 65 degrees Celsius, 150 Fahrenheit or below.
Okay.
Okay. But when we get into those hotter temperatures, we shift from the bacteria that likes moderate temperatures. Those are called mesophilic, to bacteria that likes hotter temperatures. Those are called thermophilic.
Okay.
So our thermophilic bacteria plus the increased heat, the increased energy will help the bacteria break down the more complex things. Mm-hmm. So that's things that aren't going to be as easily available, like fats, proteins, cellulose, things like that, that are more complex and not just like sugar, you know? And so the thermophiles will take over. They'll do that. But as you know, the stuff that's readily available to break down slows down, there's less stuff, reactions slow down, the pile will start to cool down. And if you're turning the pile like you're supposed to regularly, that will also release heat and things will start to cool back down.
Mm-hmm.
So there's the first phase, the mesophilic phase. The second phase is the thermophilic phase. And then the last phase is called the maturing phase.
Okay.
In the maturing phase, it cools back down and the mesophilic bacteria take back over. And then there's a bacteria in that phase that will break down the most complicated things that are like still left over, like cellulose or any of the most complicated things, but it doesn't need our higher energy.
Okay.
Okay. So then what's left after that is compost. And that's it.
So then it has become compost.
Yeah. After those three phases, it becomes compost.
Mesophilic, thermophilic,
maturing.
Maturing. I was thinking of
maturation.
Maybe. I was like, is there another philic? Okay. Maturing. Compost.
And in that phase, the mesophilic takes back over because it's back in like more neutral territory.
Got it. So are you like in your case, or I don't know, you can also say what other people do, but do you have like a bin that you put it in your house and then you take it out and in your backyard, do you have like just an area or is it like kind of like a, I don't know, like what? Yeah. Give me the deets.
So, well, I could also, do you want me to give you the deets now or do you want me to tell you about the deets of what compost actually is? You can pick.
Either one. If I'm going to get them,
I'll do the deets.
If I'm going to get them either way, I'm fine. But I was like, kind of, there's a little part of me, or not a little part of me, the part of me is also like the how to, you know?
Yeah,
and I'm like, okay, what do I need to like get and like,
yeah.
I'm thinking like, where in my backyard, I'm going to put this stuff so my kids don't mess with it.
Well, I will finish my top tips for composting at the very end of the episode, but I'll give you a quick overview. So I inherited a composter from someone else. So it was free and good for the environment because they were upgrading from actually Stephen H. who originally asked this. It's just like this black plastic, recycled plastic tub thing. It's like a hexagon, I guess. It has six sides.
Nice.
And it's like suspended kind of in the air on these two metal legs and you just spin it. And on one side it can like basically slide this little door open. And so one side it has a plus. So like that's the side we add food to. And the other side has a clock. So it's like, this is the side that's sitting and you can flip the door around, you know?
I see.
And then maybe you can do that thing where you, if I do this, you like hold a picture right here.
Oh, yes.
Here, I'll show you a picture of my backyard composter. And then also our listeners. It looks like basically like this.
I have seen those.
Looks like you can get one for similar on Amazon for like $80.
And guess what? It's not a smoker or a barbecue pit like I probably have thought when I've seen
it
them.
It does kind of look like that.
Afar. I've seen these a lot. I didn't realize that's what that was.
Yeah, there's like a little clock on one side and a plus on the other. So like that's the side you add to and that's the side that you are letting cook.
Uh-huh.
And then once like this side is filled up, you can slide this whole thing out and flip it. So then the clock's on that side and the plus is on the other side.
I see.
Yeah. And then you can spin it in that thing.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay. So so I take my stuff out there and it hangs out in that thing and it's cooking and it's heating up. And I think we fill it up pretty fast.
Uh-huh.
I think we've kind of optimized that now that we have the yard waste bin, but, it cooks up and then you come back and it's like gone down a significant amount. Like we left it just for like a few months, I think. And it had gone down a significant amount. It was like about probably a third of what it was when it started. And it looked like dirt in there.
Wow.
It was amazing.
That is crazy.
That's when it feels like magic. You're like, where did all this stuff put in here go? But well, I'll talk about that when we get to the tips. There were some things that I'm like, we shouldn't have put that in there.
That is a question I have, so I'll wait.
Okay, yeah. But so I'll say now what remains is compost. So that stuff that looks like dirt, it's not actually dirt. And I did not get a super satisfying answer of what was the difference between soil and compost. Mm. The best thing I could find was the primary difference between compost and soil is that compost is, you know, primarily this nutrient-rich organic matter. It's carbon-based, nitrogen rich, but soil has that in it, you know, as things break down naturally in the environment. Soil has that nutrient rich stuff, but soil also has inorganic material. So that's not carbon based material like sand and rocks and clay and things like that.
Got it. Okay.
So, yes.
So soil in a way is sort of a word for like, it's a combination of a bunch of things. You will have those inorganic things.
Yeah.
Obviously, we know different like areas have different soil types or whatever. Like the where I grew up had like that red clay.
Yeah.
A lot like real like definitely stains your clothes kind of thing.
Yes.
And then some soils like sandier and that kind of stuff.
Yep.
That plus that organic material that probably is really similar to what compost is. That part of it, I mean.
Yeah.
Okay. Interesting.
Yeah. And it did say that, you know, it's basically it's compost contains beneficial microorganisms like the bacteria are obviously still there, fungi, and it's made up of living and dead things in various states of decomposition, such as plant roots and microbes. And then eventually I went and found the United States Composting Council. And that was cited by a peer reviewed journal article I read. So they're legit. And it defined compost as the product manufactured through the controlled aerobic, so oxygen, biological decomposition of biodegradable materials. The product has undergone mesophilic and thermophilic temperatures, which significantly reduce the viability of pathogens and weed seeds and stabilizes carbon such that it is beneficial to plant growth. Compost is typically used as soil amendment, but may also contribute plant nutrients. Finished compost is typically screened to reduce its particle size to improve soil incorporation.
Interesting.
And did I say that when it gets up to the certain temperatures? No, I don't think I did. I think I forgot that. When it is, because it's so consistently at these high temperatures, it does kill a lot of pathogens. Did I say that?
I don't remember.
It can kill pathogens that could harm humans or plants, and it can also kill weed seeds, which you want.
Nice.
So that's exciting too. And so this peer-reviewed journal article that I read about, like, went through and tested and checked for like some of the major bacteria. I think it was like E. coli and something else, and it's sterilized from those major pathogens. The compost is, even though it like. The average temperature of it is more like 37 because it's ranging from like 20 all the way 37 Celsius because it's ranging from like 20 Celsius to 65 Celsius. Those heat increases seem to still kill those pathogens.
Okay. Interesting.
I know.
Wow.
So that's exciting. Okay, so.
It's almost like what can't it do? You know what I'm saying?
It can kill pathogens. It can break down your veggies. It can just come out here and feed your other plants. Yeah. It's great. It makes your trash can smell better.
Wow.
It's the best. Okay, so the thing that I will say is, in order to do this, bacteria primarily need two things, which are carbon and nitrogen.
Okay.
And this may be like the finicky thing people have heard about, is that you have to get the exact right balance between carbon or nitrogen. And if you don't, it will ruin your compost. It won't really ruin your compost, but it can either slow down your compost process or it starts to smell bad. So if you get too much nitrogen, instead of just producing, you know, this nice odorless carbon dioxide, you can get gases that contain nitrogen. Like think of like the window cleaning spray, Windex, how it has like ammonium in it.
Mm.
And that will smell bad.
Okay.
So too much nitrogen can lead to smelling bad. Too much carbon and not enough nitrogen can lead to, oh, the bacteria doesn't have all the things that it needs. So it sort of slows the process down.
Okay.
So it won't ruin it either way, but it could either smell bad or be too slow.
Okay.
Okay. So.
So one of those two things could have been what was going on with my dad back in the day.
And I honestly think it's like, you could think about, oh, I need to balance this exactly right. The ideal ratio is 20 to 30 parts carbon.
Go spread the word. When you get a fresh, hot McCrispy from McDonald's and you can feel the heat coming through the bag, don't try to wait till you get home. Always respect hot chicken. The McCrispy, only at McDonald's. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
Some people like to deep clean every Saturday morning. I prefer to spend a few minutes every day keeping things fresh with Lysol. Lysol's all-purpose cleaner cleans and kills 99.9% of viruses and bacteria. It can be used on hard, non-porous surfaces like the kitchen, bathroom, and other areas in your home. Don't just clean, Lysol clean.
When it comes to teaching kids and teens about money, practice makes perfect. That's where Greenlight comes in. With a debit card and money app of their own, kids learn to earn, save, spend wisely, and invest. Parents send instant money transfers, create custom chores, and automate allowance, while kids track their spending, set savings goals, and practice money skills they can use today and for life. Get 1 month free when you sign up at greenlight.com/podcast.
For every one part nitrogen, I think that's hard to do. And I don't keep track of that when I'm dealing with my own compost bin.
Right.
So what we do is we basically just put whatever in there. And then if I notice that it starts to smell bad, then I Google, what can I do to keep it from smelling bad? Before I did my research and knew what it was, it was like, oh, you probably need to put something with more carbon in it. So I went and got some leaves.
Oh, nice.
Some dead leaves from around where we were, and I just put them in there and crunched them up with a stick. And then it didn't smell bad anymore after that.
All right.
You know, so that, or if it's like seeming like it's going slow, you could either just be patient or you could add more nitrogen, you know? So I think this brings us into Melissa's top tips for composting, and I think you should just start.
Okay.
So one way that I was going to suggest for you, Jam,
okay,
is to just start using your yard waste bin that you already have.
And I have room in it most of the time because right now, like, it gets real full whenever it's leaves falling season.
Yeah.
And I'm literally like filling it up all the time. Right now, that's not the case. So yes. I've got room.
And what we do is we just... So when our compost bin was full and I wasn't able to like keep adding stuff to it, we just have a bowl, and throughout the day, it's like at the beginning of the day, Mason puts his coffee grounds in there. And then when I make my avocado toast, I put my avocado peels in there. And then if I make apples or whatever, cut apples, I'll put the core in there. And then whatever we're having for dinner, if we like have tomatoes or whatever, we just put the peels. So like as the day goes on, it gets filled up and like maybe once a day we'll just go and dump it out into the yard waste bin, or I'll go a little bit further to the compost bin, which we have like further away from our house because sometimes it doesn't really attract that many bugs. We had a big fly problem last year when we first moved in. Like our house is just like the outside wasn't very well maintained. And so it, we weren't sure if it was attracting more flies or not, but just to risk it, like we moved into a back corner.
So the stuff you said that we are in our town allowed to put in there is coffee grounds, vegetables.
Vegetable scraps, raw vegetables, yeah.
Okay, fruit as well?
Yeah, fruit and vegetables.
As long as it's raw.
As long as it's raw. And I also put eggshells in, which technically is not an organic matter, but it can be good for your soil because there's calcium in there.
Mm.
And they'll get broke up into small pieces. And so I just do it anyway.
Yeah.
Sorry, City of 10. And I do it with the coffee filter. You know how I think you and Mason both oftentimes will use the V60 or whatever with a paper filter in. Paper filters and paper towels and napkins are all also compostable. So we try not to use those in our house anyway, but if I haven't used a lot of harsh chemicals, I'll put them in the yard waste bin, which maybe that's not allowed, but it should be okay.
Yeah.
So I do it anyway.
Nice.
Maybe I'm being too rebellious. But especially the coffee filter, I'm like, that thing is soaked. It'll break down, no problem.
Yeah.
And isn't it basically just plants anyway? So I will sometimes, I don't often put paper towels in those. I put those in the compost bin, but the coffee filter, I just put in the yard waste bin.
Nice.
So yeah, we just like throughout the day, we just fill it up and then we take it out there. So look and see if you're where you're living, if they have a yard waste collection option. And if they do, find out if they have, if you can add the other things to it. And that may be a very low barrier way to start composting and start making a difference.
Nice.
So that's one way.
Very cool.
Another tip I had is, yeah, if it starts to smell bad or seems to be going slow, just Google it. Is if you just start, just try it. Don't worry too much. And if it acts weird, just Google it. That's what I did. And it's worked out fine for me. And I ended up with compost. Yep. So it was great. You can get a composter off Amazon for pretty cheap. You can also look up tutorials for how to DIY it. I bet you could also find some on Marketplace. I just inherited mine from a friend and I really, really loved it. Another thing you can do is I've heard of people just composting their yard trimmings or like if they don't have too much, you know, if they've like trimmed plants or something in like the back alleyways, like but over their fence where there's just like a strip of grass and nobody hangs out there. If you don't have like a yard waste collection, you can do that, but I wouldn't put food there because that could attract pests.
Right.
You know,
yep.
Mine's contained.
Yeah.
And then if you're like trying to get your carbon nitrogen balance just right, some high carbon options are like leaves that have fallen, straw, sawdust, bark, or paper, and then some nitrogen heavy things are vegetable scraps, coffee, coffee grounds, or glass. Grass clippings or move it toward the nitrogen side.
Okay.
So I was going to say, I recommend starting with just vegetables and maybe, you know, what I wish we hadn't done in our little composter. Now that I know about our yard waste bin, I wish I just put vegetables in there, like vegetables, paper towels, and eggshells. And then left like the big, like my roommate has a big, like a plant with really big leaves and we like, she trimmed those down and we shoved them in the composter and it just, it turned brown, but it was like, it wasn't well incorporated into it.
I see,
and so even though everything else in the compost was broken down, those things were like still hanging out. Or we were like, oh, you can compost paper. Let's put all this paper in there. So like we put big things of like packing paper in there. And I do think that kind of slowed down the process some. So I ended up taking the paper out and putting that in the recycling bin and taking the big, huge, like palm fronds, that's kind of what they're like, out and put them in the yard waste bin. I wish I had just done like the smaller things because the smaller sizes things are, you know, the easier it is for the bacteria to get at it. And so that was something I wish I had, I wish I hadn't gone so big, like not doing all the yard clippings, letting those stay in the yard waste bin that City of Denton would take. And then focus just on small things like vegetables, paper towels, coffee filters, fruit, and then eggshells, and just put that primarily in the compost.
Got it. Okay.
Because it also filled up really fast when we did that big stuff.
Yeah.
So
why don't I try to think of like think of all the foods I can think of and you tell me if it's compostable or not.
Well, let me say what you shouldn't do is meat or dairy.
Okay. Nice.
Yes. And the eggshells are kind of even questionable because they don't really break down, but I haven't had a problem with them and they are good for your soil.
What about bread?
I don't do bread because it's baked.
Mm.
You maybe could. I would say err on the side of being less risky when you first start.
Got it. Okay.
My sister composts everything, but she has like built a specific compost bin. She lives on a really large plot of land. Mm-hmm. It's like pretty far away from her house, so she doesn't super have to deal with the negative consequences. She has it like there's a lot of airflow. Like hers kind of looks like, imagine like a chicken coop kind of.
Yes.
And I've seen those. So, yeah.
Yeah.
So there's like really good airflow. And so, and but it, because it's really well fenced in, there's not like rodents really getting at it. So hers is like much more, do whatever. Whereas mine, I'm like, I'm not going to be throwing rotted meat.
Yeah.
You know?
Right.
So.
Interesting. Okay.
The other thing I was going to say is the EPA and Cornell and a lot of other extension websites have really good websites that talk about the how to get started in composting.
Nice.
Okay. What other questions do you have for me?
I was trying to think of what all things we kind of throw away a lot. We do a lot of fruit and vegetables, so that helps a lot. Mm-hmm. Almost always raw, right?
Yeah.
Scraps, trims, whatever. How about this? What if I have a bag of salad that went bad?
Throw it in there.
Nice. I was thinking it's not like that's been really processed in like the way that it's not like it's been like manufactured, right? But it has been trimmed, probably sprayed some stuff on it, right? Put into a bag.
I throw it in there and it's fine.
So if I had like a bag of baby carrots that went bad, do I need like trim them down? Like cut them in pieces or just throw them in?
Just throw them in.
Okay.
You can, if you wanted to go faster, cut them down, but I don't. I guess this is already pureed, but I had some pumpkin that I left in there too long and I was like, it's moldy. Oh, well. Dumped it in there. It was fine. It's not like you could see a pumpkin.
That's a good question. So if it's moldy, it's fine?
Yeah, it's just already started breaking down.
Okay. I assumed that was the case, but then I was like, that would be one of the things that if I didn't ask it, I could see there being like a, you know, some future time where I'm like, hey, Melissa, my entire like deal is like moldy. And you'd be like, oh yeah, you can't do that. I'm like, dang it, I should have asked about that.
I mean, I didn't have a problem with it. I guess it could be a problem, but I haven't. Those are the things that I'm like, I just tried. I just didn't try in it.
Yeah. This is not a question about what I can compost or not. And I know you said it's technically not true, but what if, we call this episode How to Make Dirt?
I love it.
Or something like that.
How to Make Dirt. What's the chemistry of composting?
Yeah.
Get compost in the title so that when people search it,
yeah,
it comes up.
Yeah, gotta have that. Yeah. But
yeah, I mean, that's what it looks like. It just looks like dirt in there. And what I did, I was too lazy to actually get the dirt out. Mm-hmm. And it was like pretty far in there. I was like, I don't feel like I've made enough. So I took out all those big pieces and I transferred things that I thought would, you know, keep breaking down to the left side. And it wasn't gross. It doesn't smell bad.
Mm-hmm.
It should just smell earthy, you know, whatever. I haven't really had a problem with it smelling at all.
Mm-hmm.
Except that one time that we crunched up leaves in there. And then I just started throwing more stuff in there. So I haven't harvested any yet, but I could see it. And I was like, this, it doesn't smell bad. And it looks just like dirt.
Yep.
And that's so exciting. But it just rained and I'm kind of in a hurry and I want to start using this again. So I just didn't harvest it.
How about this? Why can't you do cooked vegetables? Like, we usually don't cook more vegetables than we're going to actually eat. So that's helpful. Like, it almost always is our raw vegetables that we didn't get to in time. But there are times, like, where we're a big broccoli house. So, like, we make broccoli quite a bit. And there's times where there's, like, one or two left going to the kids.
You could.
Okay.
But I don't know. Like, let's just look it up. This is exactly what I do.
I was thinking, like, I could see on one hand, you might be adding some stuff in there that might, like, the oils and stuff like that you're adding in.
Oh, that's a good point.
But then on the other hand, I think didn't we learn that you know, like to a degree at least, cooking is breaking some of this stuff down.
Oh, here we go. When cooked vegetables, this is just Google, so don't, I don't know if you trust it. When cooked vegetables break down, they start to rot quickly, which is unsanitary and can lead to unpleasant odors.
Mm.
So maybe it's like a small amount of rotting food is okay for compost, but too much can compromise by attracting pests.
Well, it'd be cool if I could add, like, say one of my kids just doesn't eat two of the little, like a little two florets or whatever.
You could definitely do that.
Okay, cool.
I mean, I think some things say you can compost cooked vegetables. Other things say you can't. So
I think one of the things, that thing I saw, that little like countertop deal.
Oh, this one does say, as long as they don't have any butter or grease.
Got it. Okay.
So that could be, you could be honest. I bet oil would be fine, but yeah, butter probably.
Yeah.
And that is something is like, I bet there's a level of contamination that's not that big of a deal. But like if you put, if you're constantly putting butter covered things in there, that's a lot of dairy and that's going to start to change.
Yeah. Right. Okay. Makes sense.
What were you going to say? The countertop thing. I think I've seen that before.
But I think in there's like some things that I saw in the video they're throwing in, probably what makes their like category of things you can put in there broader is that it's speeding up so fast. So like
I think it gets it hot.
Yeah. So the things that are like, that would be a problem to be rotting and stuff like that. If you were to put cooked vegetables in a normal composting thing, this deal does it in like a few hours. I'm guessing that it broadens your range of some stuff you can put in there, which would be cool. I mean,
I think I looked at that thing and it was pretty expensive.
Yeah.
When we were staying in the apartment, I had wondered about starting composting and I looked into that and we realized it was actually cheaper to get a compost subscription. And there's like a thing where you can basically just like trade out a compost bucket, and then at our community market, you just bring it to them and then they give you a fresh one.
Nice.
So we looked at that, but that was cheaper like over time than using the countertop one. And I was like, probably better to not contribute to waste by getting a whole new thing.
Totally.
You know, it's all the game of like, is the footprint of getting this going to offset what I'm doing? Or
I feel like that would be cool if you were going to quickly use it for stuff. Like,
yes.
And you were going to use it yourself or whatever. But otherwise it's like, why would you need it to be that fast?
Yeah.
Yeah. Or if you didn't have access to a subscription and you didn't have a backyard, like if, there's probably a specific group that maybe it's perfect for, but I was intrigued by it, but I was not ready to throw some money at something like that. I was just like, whoa. It's turning into compost that fast? That's insane.
Yeah.
And it was like they opened it up and I was like, that was like dirt to me.
Yeah.
But.
Yeah, I would say for you and your family, a great place to start is just like use that yard waste bin.
Nice.
You know, you already have it. It's not filled up with leaves right now.
Yep.
And then we'll, you know, see if like, is this realistic for us to do? And then if you think, this is realistic, I feel like the next step of then getting the compost bin, that could be a little bit harder, you know, like, I do have to think about it a little bit more. We don't have kids or anything. So like for me, it's like, it doesn't matter. And it's far enough away from my house. I never smell it. I never think about it. It doesn't smell bad usually when I go over there anyway. Yeah. It has like a few flies around at most.
Well,
but there haven't been a lot.
I was thinking about that before you showed me what you actually have, because what my dad did was like basically literally a pile. And that's what I've seen other people do.
And
I know that my kids would mess with that. And also like the bugs would be like right there in the open air and stuff. But like a container sort of deal like that you have is a lot less, you know.
All of it.
Yeah. So that could be a good option in the future maybe.
Yeah.
But dang, very cool.
And maybe you could just put your wife who's really good at Facebook Marketplace on it. And if she sees one, you could like low risk, get it and see what you think.
Yeah, totally.
You know?
Yes. I bet there are some on there. I would bet people if they're moving might be like, when listening to move, you know, and be like, I could get another one whenever I get where I'm going.
Yeah.
But like the idea of like trying to throw that in your moving truck and stuff, is probably like, eh.
Yeah. And it was kind of like dirty.
Yeah.
It was fine because we were just moving that from Frisco to here and it was like...
Just like you wouldn't move your dumpster. It's kind of like, no, I'll get new ones there. You know, it's just kind of like, they are outside all the time. They're kind of dirty.
Yeah.
Even like our recycling one, it's like doesn't actually have like grow stuff in there.
Yeah.
It's sort of like, yeah, I wouldn't put that in a moving vehicle, yeah. You know, or whatever.
Well, I really love mine. I did get it for free, so it was like a lot lower of a risk. It's not like, okay, so I'm expecting something good to come out of it. It's finally I don't have to feel bad throwing away when I forget about my spinach and it starts to rot.
Yeah.
Or, you know, whatever it is.
Right.
So that's made me, I mean, pretty happy. And it's easy to spin. It's not like heavy. It's
nice.
Kind of fun.
Nice.
And when we go on our walks in the evening, I just notice it and then I'll just spin it and then I'm done.
Nice.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the other thing about the pile deal is that my dad would have to like get in there and like churn it and
yes,
stuff.
Yes, you have to like manually turn it and fluff it to let the heat out.
Yep.
And to make sure that there was airflow.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I don't have to do that. I just can like spin my little thing.
And I'm pretty sure he's adding stuff he shouldn't have added. So I think there's a bunch of strikes against his method. And at the same time, this was, you know, 15 years ago.
Yeah.
So we didn't know all the websites and stuff.
Yeah.
I'm sure the information was out there, but probably harder to find. So,
yeah.
You know, now it's a lot cooler to do. So,
well, I'm really excited about it in part because I'll go ahead. I mean, do you want to review this lesson at all? It's kind of hard because it's like, less of a lesson.
I guess I could try my hand at the process part.
Okay.
So you are taking organic material.
Yep.
Waste that, limited list of things, but pretty good amount of stuff we have in our homes a lot that it is a high percentage for the average household that is, it gets wasted and just gets added to the landfill trash stuff. So
yeah.
Raw vegetable scraps, fruit scraps, coffee grounds,
mm-hmm.
stuff like that. If we put it into a composting bin of some kind, initially it starts to, the first phase is the mesophilic?
Meso. And what does mesophilic mean?
It means heat?
No, that means moderate temperature.
Moderate. Nice.
Sorry.
It's funny because meso, like miso soup, is actually hot.
Yeah. So,
dang it.
But not, thermo.
Not, right. Thermo. Yeah. Even more obvious.
Yeah.
Moderate. Okay. So at that point, the bacteria starts doing its thing. Mm. And then as it starts breaking down the scraps, then the temperature starts to rise.
Yep.
And then you get to the thermophilic.
Yeah. So the first is mesophilic bacteria. They like moderate temperatures.
Uh-huh.
And then as it starts to heat up, the mesophilic dies away mm-hmm. and the thermophilic bacteria takes over.
Uh-huh. And so then it's getting hotter, but even to a point, bacteria will start to go dormant and not, it won't happen as fast. So that's why it's good to turn it.
Yep. It releases the heat.
Release the heat.
And also lets in oxygen.
Lets in oxygen. And then after that stage, maturation,
mm-hmm.
Which is just like kind of where it starts to just kind of think for itself more and just make slightly better decisions. It's got some experience and stuff and just kind of, it just, yeah, you know what I mean?
Yeah, totally.
And yeah, well, what marks that one?
So it's when the thermophilic bacteria start to die away, the pile starts to cool back down mm-hmm. and the mesophilic bacteria come out and like finish up the hardest things.
Okay.
And I will say in the thermophilic, that's also like, the first step, the mesophilic, it's doing the easiest to break down things. So like sugars, easy.
Yeah.
And then protein and fat and things start to get broken down in the higher temperature and like cellulose starts. And then the rest of the cellulose and lignin and stuff, I think, is what comes at the maturation phase.
Got it. Okay. Got it. That's kind of cool. So it's the earlier bacteria comes back in and finishes stuff off
mm-hmm.
again. So they get the second turn. And then after that, it's compost, baby. Right?
It's compost.
Wow.
Which is mysterious what it contains. Maybe like a soil biologist mm-hmm. can come in and tell us, but it is organic. So primarily carbon-based,
mm-hmm.
nitrogen-rich carbon-based material that's good for feeding plants, etc.
So like how good does it taste at that point?
Like, yeah, you probably, guys, it probably tastes great. No, that is a good point. You should still wash your hands after you use it and stuff because the pathogen should be cleaned out, cleared out. It's called like the hygienization. It's like hygienic, whatever. Okay. Like it's cleaned out a lot of these pathogens. But just in case, because it's a home process and like, who knows, you don't know if you did it perfectly, I would still be careful and like wash your hands, you know, because it was rotting food at one point. Right. There might still be some of that.
Totally. And also, I think most of us, that should be a little bit intuitive because I think we also just like wash our hands when we touch dirt too and like the ground. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like, I'm not just going to eat some food right now, you know?
Yes.
So hopefully that is good. If I'm getting into this, hopefully that will be intuitive to me.
And then I went and tried to look and see what Denton did with its yard waste, and it doesn't explicitly say that it composts, but it does say that our dino dirt, which we suspect comes from the composting that comes from our yard waste bins, is it says that it is a member of the United States Composting Council, which is the thing I talked about, seal of testing assurance program.
Cool.
And so it's a compost testing, labeling, and information disclosure program to give consumers information they need to get the maximum benefit out of the use of their compost.
Okay.
So that's cool.
Nice.
So that's our one tiny way of composting, I guess, in Denton.
Very cool.
So, yeah, great. Oh, wait. Does it say no? Yes. I just found it. Dino dirt compost, soil blend, and mulches are produced using yard trimmings and recycled biosolids, which prolongs the life of our landfill. Wow. Nice. So maybe they even go through the landfill and get stuff out. But
that'd be cool if they do. I remember I talked to a neighbor at a previous house before when they were starting this program with the yard waste bins, because the house I used to live in, they didn't have that program until partway through living there. But he was like, kind of like not that into it because he was like, man, I don't want to put all my leaves and stuff like that in there just so they can process it and then sell it back to me. Like, I'm sort of, I could do this all myself. I'm like, yeah, that's sort of true. But like, also, it's like very affordable that dirt is, and it's like really good stuff.
Yeah.
I wish I thought of that
whenever I was making my garden.
They're doing like really, so they're doing a lot for us and they're mixing stuff in a way that we couldn't easily do.
Yeah.
They kind of made it seem like, wow, they're taking all our like organic material and just making money off it. And I was like, I would bet they're not making money hand over fist here. I bet it's like,
it's hard to say.
Probably like if it breaks even and a little better than that, then cool. But just try competing, like the going and getting a good bag of soil at the
It was so expensive. We went to the hardware store, and I regret it because I realized after we could have gotten dino dirt in support of this program.
Mm-hmm.
But also, it's like, are you really going to do anything with it?
Right.
Like, a lot of it is solving a problem for me. Like, I don't have space for all of the compost that I want. We filled it up so quickly in a 3-person household.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things that was hardest and most annoying to compost was like the long trimmings of like our palm type plants or, you know, like when we mow our yard, you know, it's like we bag it all up and dump it in there instead of just leaving it, which I guess I've heard you can also just leave it, but we have a bunch of weeds that we're trying to get the seeds out. But anyway, I think that they're doing a cool service because I think a lot of people wouldn't compost.
Right.
But just knowing that like, hey, you can just throw your vegetable scraps in this yard waste feels like it really lowers the barrier of entry to a compost bin. Mm. You know, like that's way harder to think about than just throwing my vegetable scraps in here, you know? So, and I used to, every time we made ceviche a lot, which like then we're cutting up peppers, we're cutting up tomatoes, we're cutting up cilantro, we're cutting up onions, we're cutting up avocado. And every time we'd make it, I'd be like, man, I wish we had a compost. Yeah. And now I get to be like, yay, we have a compost. We can like do things with this.
That's awesome.
So it's very exciting. And then when our compost was full, I was sad. And then I realized that we could do this. And I was like, yay.
Nice.
We can still compost. You know, it's just exciting. Yeah. So
that's awesome.
Yeah. I like it.
That's awesome. Well, I'm very interested. And guess what? This ended up having to double, I think, as both the chemistry lesson and also sharing something cool from your week, because we have gone quite a long time.
Whoops. So we just got so excited talking about compost.
It's okay. I was interested too. I had plenty of questions of my own. So let's just say we'll have something for our week next time.
Okay. I'll say one little thing. And that's that my friend Steven, who gave this to me, said that when he spread it around, sometimes there would be what he called volunteer seeds that somehow made it through. And he got like a squash or something, like a plant here and there in his yard.
That's funny.
So that was fun. But I'm mostly going to use mine in my garden. So I think that'll be like, you know.
Yeah.
I don't care about volunteer seeds. I might do it.
Right. It will be a garden. So yeah. Perfect.
Okay, great.
Cool.
Well, thanks so much for being excited about compost with me.
Yeah. I mean, seems great to me. Like, kind of seems like a no-brainer.
Yeah.
So.
Especially when your city makes it as easy as our city does. Yes. So go see if your city's doing anything cool like this.
And if they're not, be like, why not?
Yeah, write your elected officials.
Yeah, and be like, okay. And maybe, I mean, you know. Maybe there's something, maybe there's a cool like community option like at our market or whatever. So you probably got something.
And also write to us about your questions, right, Jam?
Yes, that's right. So if you have a question or a thought or a bit of feedback, something to add to this conversation or a chemistry question about something totally different, reach out to us on our website at chemforyourlife.com. That's chemforyourlife.com to share your thoughts and ideas. If you'd like to help us keep our show going and contribute to cover the cost of making it, you can join our super cool Chem community of patrons on patreon.com/chemforyourlife. And it's a super cool thing. You get to hang out with us. There's some perks and stuff like that. Ways we thank you for helping keep the show going, keeping it free. And we get to interact with you and get to know you better. It's super fun. So please join that at patreon.com/chemforyourlife. But if you're not able to do that, you can still help us by subscribing on your favorite podcast app, rating, writing, review, and Apple Podcasts. And then also subscribing on our YouTube channel. Those things help us to share chemistry with even more people.
This episode of Chemistry for Your Life was created by Melissa Collini and Jam Robinson. Jam Robinson is our producer, and this episode was made possible by our financial supporters over on Patreon. It seriously is so amazing that you want us to make chemistry accessible for even more people. So thank you so much for facilitating that and being excited about chemistry with us. And those supporters are John T, Avishai B, Bree M, Brian K, Carol R, Chris and Claire S, Chelsea B, Derek L, Elizabeth P, Emerson W, Hunter R, Jacob T, Christina G, Katrina H, Latila S, Lynn S, Melissa P, Nicole C, Rachel R, Sarah M, Stephen B, Shadow, Suzanne P, Timothy P, Venus R, Erica B, Cullen R, and Jeanette N. Thank you all for everything that you do. You do so much to make Chemistry for Your Life happen. And an extra special thanks to Bree, who often creates illustrations to go along with episodes of Chemistry for Your Life. You can see those over on our YouTube channel. And please thank Bree by checking out our show notes and following her on Twitter and at her website, entropic.artstation.com.
And if you'd like to learn more about today's chemistry lesson, you can check the references for this episode in our show notes or in the description of the video.
Yay, composting!
Yay, composting! Yay, chemistry!
Yay, chemistry!
Go spread the word. When you get a fresh, hot McCrispy from McDonald's and you can feel the heat coming through the bag, don't try to wait till you get home. Always respect hot chicken. The McCrispy, only at McDonald's. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
When your space has the long-lasting, noticeable scent of Airwick Vibrant Essential Mist, you'll be inviting everyone over. From barbecues to girls' night, the kids can even host their friends.
Whoa, it smells amazing.
Airwick Vibrant Essential Mist is infused with 2 times more essential oil versus regular Airwick Essential Mist for our most authentic, nature-inspired fragrance experience. Airwick Vibrant Essential Mist is perfectly portable and effortlessly easy, the way fragrance should be. Now that's a breath of fresh Airwick.
Hey parents, Greenlight is here to take one big thing off your to-do list, teaching your kids about money. With a Greenlight debit card and money app of their own, kids and teens learn to earn, save, and invest. You can send money instantly, set flexible controls, and get real-time notifications of your kids' money activity. Set up chores and put allowance on autopilot to reward them for their hard work. Then learn about the world of money together. Get 1 month free when you sign up at greenlight.com/podcast.
Whether you're a morning person or a bedtime procrastinator, everyone deserves a mattress that works for their style. And you'll find the best mattress for you at Ashley. The new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley brings you one-of-a-kind body-conforming technology, making every sleep tailored to be your best. The collection also features cool-to-the-touch covers and motion absorption to help minimize sleep disruptions from partners, pets, or kids. Shop the all-new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.